Last couple of weeks, we've been doing a series called Dare. James, it is in the slides somewhere, if you'll put it up for us, please. We have been doing a series called Dare. There we go. And if I had to say to you, Dare, what is the first thing that comes to mind? For me, it's probably bungee jumping or jumping out of a plane. What are some of the first things? Come, you're allowed to shout out. I'm a youth guy, so you can make some noise in church. I actually think it's normal, because with a bunch of youth, I'm throwing sticks at them and just, keep quiet, I'm trying to talk. Come on, let's hear some. We'll start this side. What are some of the things, when I say the word dare, that comes to mind? The first thing. Sorry? Truth or dare. Truth or dare. Oh, I used to play that game when I was dating Maxine, truth or dare. And now we're married. Guess she took that dare. Anybody else? Dare to be a witness. That's a very good one. On this side? Is that a dare? I don't know if that's a dare or just American. I'm not quite sure. Anything else? Dare to speak up in front of a crowd. Believe it or not, I've got no issue speaking in front of a crowd. I don't know. My first time I ever did a public speaking, I was 9 years old and I spoke in front of 5,000 people. And I seem to be doing okay today, so I don't have too many issues with that. So, so this morning we're going to be looking at dare, but daring to believe. And so it's quite a challenging thing for us as Christians to actually put to practice the things that we believe, right? Sometimes, especially me, I'm one of those people, I'm like, God has called us to be his hands and his feet. Let's go into the community. Let's raise the dead. Pray for the dog. Pray for the cat. Let's do everything. But when push comes to shove and you actually have to pray for someone, it's scary because we fear rejection. We fear, man, what is that person going to say if I actually put my faith out there? And it's not always an easy thing. And so we're going to look at that today. So we have got a lot of Bible verses. So have we got our Bibles ready? Can I just say, it's so good to see, besides Lucy and Wei, it's so good to see that there's actual Bibles. Because I tell the kids, take out your Bible and an iPhone and an iPad and a MacBook. Like everything comes out. If you would like a Bible, we can actually hand deliver you a Bible right now. So put up your hand if you would like a Bible. Come on, you don't get service like that even at McDonald's. Just something off topic while Uncle Richard is handing it out. Don't you guys think it's amazing that Uncle Richard at his age is the first one to jump up, get the Bibles and pass it out? That's really awesome, Uncle Richard. Forever young. Forever young. Yes, yes. So if you've got a Bible, so long, you can open up on John 6, verse 29. It's an incredibly long passage, so just get ready. Make sure you've got your eyes are open, you're awake. It reads as follows. Has everybody got it? It should be on the screen, I presume, I hope, I pray, I believe. This is what God wants you to do. Believe in the one he has sent. That's it. I'll read it again. This is what God wants you to do. Believe in the one he has sent. John 6, verse 29. Has everybody got that? Okay, so we are just going to go over a couple of things. There we go. So one of the first things we're going to go over, we're going to look at four benefits that we as Christians have in believing in God. One of the most obvious ones is that we get to go to heaven. Come on. That's an amazing thing. We get to go to heaven. We actually know the one that holds the keys that lets us into heaven. And when we get to heaven, we will be welcomed by Jesus. And that's awesome. So the first thing we're going to look at is this. Everything you've ever done wrong is forgiven. If you think back over your life, do you realize that you have messed up a lot? A lot. A lot of us as Christians, I saw some, yeah, definitely. A lot of us as Christians forget what we have been forgiven. And because we forget what we have been forgiven, we misunderstand God's grace. I'm not saying that you should loathe in your sin. What I am saying is we need to be aware of what Christ has forgiven us. Christ has redeemed us from the grave. He has set us free. He has made us a new creation. He has brought us into His kingdom. And He has made us sons and daughters of the Lord Most High. That is an unbelievable thing. And the problem is so many of us can't even get those words into our heads and into our hearts. So I can stop the sermon right there and send you home, and that would be enough for you to deal with for the rest of the week. Because we struggle with that concept. We don't know how much we've been forgiven. And it's simply something that's really, really funny is that my best friend, he's South African, believe it or not, but we spoke on the phone last night, and he was talking to me about how he met this group of Christians who go to a church that he's gone to, who have been Christians for a good portion of their life, 15 years or so. And he said what struck him the most is that when he met them and he spoke to them, they were like Christians who just became saved. The way that they were thinking, their understanding was extremely negative. He could see that their minds and their hearts have not been renewed, even though they've been Christians for such a long time. And one of the keys for us as Christians to move on in the renewal of our mind is to know what we've been forgiven. If I don't know where I come from, I don't know where I'm going. It's because of my past and the way that I grew up, I've got passion, I've got vision in my life because I know I don't want to end up there. I know that God has given me direction to go to a place that He has called me to be. Gosh, that's the first point. Can you imagine? There's three more left. Okay, I'll try and keep focus. The scripture that goes along with that is all who believe in Jesus will be forgiven of their sins through Jesus' name. Acts 10, verse 43. We are made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we can be saved in the same way, no matter who we are or what we have done. Point number two, we learn God's purpose for our lives. So when we believe in God, we discover a new purpose. Our purpose in life is not just to be born, to make a lot of money, and to die. That is definitely not the purpose. I'm discovering now with Jude that my life has changed. My focus, my visions, my passions have changed because I've got a son. And because I want him to grow up and I want him to experience God in fullness, I want to show my son who God is. And to show him who God is, I need to discover God for myself. And what it's done, it's caused me to move closer to God because He was born. And also because I need a lot of grace because He's a boy and He's wild. So it's really, really cool. Point number three. Well, I'll read a couple of scriptures with point number two. Let's do that. Everything, absolutely everything, God started in Christ and finds His purpose in Him. Colossians 1 verse 16. That's out of the message. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. That is a powerful verse. I'm going to read it again. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. That is really, really amazing. When I was 17 years old and I gave my life to God, so I think I've shared this many times, but when I was 17, I got a bursary to go study chemical engineering at one of South Africa's top universities. I'm actually a smart person. I just like to hide it a lot. So it's an excuse to be lazy, as my dad always used to say, just before he would try and give me a hiding and I would run away because I'm not studying. Sorry, side note. But I had a bursary to go study, to go to university. And what happened was I gave my life to God when I turned 17. So during that period, 17 turning into 18, I had an encounter with the presence of the living God. I used to go out drinking, getting drunk. We would get home, and my best friend's brother would be, we would wake up, and he would be praying over us. Now, can you imagine as a drunk person, you wake up, and there's a Christian praying over you? Kind of weird, but his prayer and his continual prayer over our lives eventually led us to God. Because he didn't give up, even though we rejected him and laughed at him, he actually, his prayer saved me and my best friend. And during that time, I was going to go to university. I was going to go make a lot of money. I wanted to work for the army, build bombs, and blow stuff up. I don't know. That's all gone in me. I'm not like that anymore. I don't want to blow stuff up. I hope. And so during that period, I had an encounter with God, and God radically changed the direction of my life. When I tried to look at engineering or all that stuff, that thing died completely. There was no passion. But when I picked up the Word of God, it jumped out at me, and I was reading the Bible. I read through the Bible, I think like in a week. I just read through the Bible the whole night. Everything I read, God spoke to my heart, God challenged my heart, and He changed the course of my life. And I ended up leaving the bursary. I was a week at university, so this is a $100,000 bursary that I gave up, and I left it, and I went to Bible college. My dad didn't speak to me for a year. Because he's like, what are you doing? There's no money in the church. You're going to be a beggar. And so my dad was rough on me. But today, I'm standing in Australia. God has brought me all this way. But I came to a point in my life where I had to make a decision to follow the dreams and the purposes God put on my heart, right? And many of us can testify that God has given us a dream, a passion, a desire, and God gives us the ability to run after those dreams. Gosh, that's point three. Okay, let's go to next one. We got God's strength for daily living. God gives us power to those who are tired and worn out, and He offers strength to the weak. Isaiah 40, verse 29. I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great His power is to help those who believe in Him. It is that same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Do we understand that as Christians, we have the Spirit of the living God in us? Do we know that? Do we know that the day that you give your life to God, when you confess and you say, Father, forgive me of my sins, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And He gives us the power to overcome every day and every struggle we face. The world and the Christians in this world do not know that they've got the Holy Spirit. How many of us actually lean on the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit in the New Testament, it says this. Jesus said that if I do not go to the Father, He will not send the Helper, the one who will walk beside you. The Greek word there is parakletos. Parakletos literally means this. I need to find someone that is my height. Jason, I think we're similar height. You're probably taller than me. Parakletos is this. It's when Jason puts his hand like this and walks with me. That is the parakletos. So the Holy Spirit is where in our lives? If we had to go to the movies, where's the Holy Spirit in my life? Right beside me. If I had to go to the bathroom, where's the Holy Spirit? We don't have to go to the bathroom. Thanks, Jason. But where's the Holy Spirit in our lives? Right beside us. If I was married to Maxine and she was right beside me every day and I didn't speak to her, what would happen? I'd have a grumpy wife. I won't have a marriage. How many of us as Christians don't speak to the Holy Spirit, yet He's right beside us? When the Bible says that He is the ability that we need, the Bible says that no eye has seen, nor has man taken into their hearts the things God has prepared for us. And it can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit. So if we today are daring to believe that God can do anything, that nothing's impossible with God, we need the one that can show us the way, who is the Holy Spirit. And it's so important for us. Many of us are facing various things. A couple of weeks ago, I shared with you guys that I sometimes struggle with anger. You wouldn't believe it or not, sometimes I do struggle with anger. But it was through the grace of God and the Holy Spirit that it helped me to overcome those things. Why? Because I got to a point where I actually turned to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I need your help. Because I can't do this in my own. So my question is, before we go on anywhere, who of us are dealing with something that we've gone to every other place but the Holy Spirit? We've gone to our best friend's cousin's niece. We've asked her for advice or him for advice. I don't know nowadays. It's quite rough out there. I don't know who you've asked. We put on the TV. We watch Oprah. We watch all of these things. We jump on the internet. But who of us have actually turned to the one that is right beside us, the Holy Spirit? And it's an important question, because you can go your entire life and not know that he is next to you. Man, what a sad thing that must be when you get to heaven and you finally see Jesus and Jesus, I'm so glad to meet you. But why didn't you help me when I was struggling with this? And Jesus points to the Holy Spirit that is standing next to you. Come on, church. It is a warning to us to make sure that we build a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And there's stacks of books out there. There's great teaching out there on building a friendship and a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So if you want more information, please jump on that and get it. Gosh, point four. Let's go to the next one. We are guaranteed eternal life. Jesus said, I am the one who raises the dead and gives them life again. Anyone who believes in me, even though they die, shall live again. He is given eternal life for believing in me and shall never perish. That's in the book of John. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So what does it mean for us as Christians to believe in God? It means that we have to trust him. When you came into church today and you sat on the chair, did you doubt that the chair was able to hold you? Maybe if you had a lot of food yesterday, you would have doubted. But most of us, when we came in, we didn't go, I don't know if this chair is going to hold me. Let me just, ooh, I don't know. We came in and we sat down. And you looked at me and my beautiful face, and you greeted people next to you and right. And you didn't doubt in the chair. That's what it means to trust in Jesus. Without waver, without fault, just trusting him. And sometimes it's hard, right? When you have to trust God for a family member that's sick, when you have to trust God for, Maxine and I are trusting God for a big part of our family to come to know him. Because almost 2/3 of our family don't know God. And Maxine is praying and interceding for our family, and we're trusting God that that will happen. And the reason why I say that, when we end, I want to read a verse out of the book of Hebrews that is quite profound. And so, yeah, I think I'll do that. So on the screen, you'll see there's the word trust, and I'm quickly just going to go through what the word trust means. And then I want us to turn to the book of Hebrews. So if you want to turn to the book of Hebrews so long you can, and I'll quickly read this first. So if we take the word trust and we take the first letter, it says, turn everything over to Jesus. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Romans 10. The R in trust stands for relax in his love. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from his love. Death can't and life can't. The angels can't and the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't take God's love away. Whenever we're high above the sky on the deepest ocean, Nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. That is Romans 8. The U stands for use our lives to serve God by serving others. God has made us what we are. And in our union with Christ, Jesus has created for us a life of good works, which he has already prepared for us to do. So before you were born, God almost put stages in your life for you to reach at. And I please understand this analogy. A lot of us who play computer games or play different things, if you think about this, that for you to progress in a game, you have to get to, you have to pass level one, defeat the boss, get to level two, defeat the boss. Right? Who's ever played a computer game or watched cricket, the World Cup? South Africa never reaches past the group stages. It's one of my prayer and intercessions. Thank you, Lord, that you hear me today. But there are group stages, and you have to pass the group stages to get to the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and the finals, right? So in life, we face many of those situations. We get confronted with something that we have to overcome. And many people struggle to overcome things that happen to them in their youth. It happened to them when they were 7 years old or 8 years old, and today they're in their late 50s or 60s or however, and they're still struggling with it. And I looked at my family and I looked at my dad, because I look very similar to my dad. The only difference is my dad's got a bit of a larger posture than me. And so I saw things in his life, and I said, God, like, I saw good things and I saw bad things. And there were things that I went and I looked at, and it made me reflect on what happened in my dad's life. So many of you as a church don't know that my dad got divorced from my mom when I was 5 years old. And my mom left my dad for another woman. So I grew up in a homosexual household. So my entire life, the people that I was surrounded with were gay people. So it is quite an intense thing as a man if your wife leaves you for another woman. And I sat down with my dad one day and I asked him, I said, Dad, how could you forgive mom? How could you forgive her? Because I'm still, to this day, I'm dealing with things in that relationship where if I see my mom or something, it brings up emotions and feelings that I have to deal with. And my dad said to me, the day that she walked out the door, I chose to forgive her. Because I knew if I didn't forgive her in that moment, it could ruin the rest of my life. Come on, that is powerful. That is so powerful. How many of us are holding on to things that happened so many years ago that we haven't dealt with or haven't let go of? We won't get freedom. We won't get victory. But the Holy Spirit in us gives us the strength to overcome these things. And we'll touch on that. So the next one is S. Suffer for doing what is right. For you have been given not only the privilege of believing in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. The T, trust what he says. For the word of the Lord always holds true. And everything he does is worthy of our trust. Why dare to believe? To all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, Jesus gave the right to become children of God. So this morning, what I want to do is, I want us to be practical with our faith. Is that okay? Can we be practical? You're allowed to say yes in church. So I'm going to ask again, can we be practical with our faith? Okay. So I'm going to hand this out, and it's basically the word dare on the back. It's a blank. And what I want us to do as a church, I want us to write down the things we believe God for. So maybe you're believing God for your family to come saved, for a new home, for a new job. Whatever you're believing God for, I want us to put it on here. And I want us to pray over it. So we're going to write it. If you've got 10 points, it's okay. If you've got 1 point, it's okay. It doesn't matter. As long as you put something on here. Because I believe that today is not just a normal day to come to church, to drink coffee, and to chit-chat. But I believe it's a time for us to encounter God and to change our lives. Come on. Yeah. I don't want to come to church every day or every week and leave the same. When I come to church, I want God to speak to me. I want God to challenge me, to change me. Because the church, we are, as people, the answer to what's happening out there. There are people dying because they don't have the truth. They don't have the life. But God has given us, as Christians, the ability to speak into their lives and to challenge them and change them. Like you saw in the video, you might buy someone a cup of coffee and just say to them, God bless. That God bless could be the door that opens Jesus Christ in their life. Something as simple as that. And I might be intense this morning, but that's okay. You'll forgive me next week when I make a funny joke. Okay, so what I'm going to do is, Lucy, I might ask you and Jason, Mariah, just to hand this out. And there's some pens along. And just for the next couple of minutes, if you don't want the person next to you to see what you're writing, do like you did in school, hide your notes, and that's okay. Vanessa, can I ask you just to hand these pens out as well? I'll explain. Okay, so what we're going to write on the back of the card is what you are believing God for. So in this series, we've been talking about daring to believe. And so we are going to put our faith and our trust in God, and we're going to believe for the impossible. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be for the cat next door. But as long as we put something on there and we become active in our faith. I don't have cats. I don't like cats. I don't like cats, actually. I'm a dog person. Verses while we get ready. The first verse is out of the book of Habakkuk. And it says the following. If I can find the verse, it's hiding. Habakkuk 2, verse 2 says this. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets, so that the herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits its appointed time. It speaks to the end, and it will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. The reason why we're writing this down today is so that when you take this card home, I'm not going to ask you to give me the card back, because some people might write some scary things on there that I do not want to see. So you're going to take this card home, and you're going to put it in a place where you can see it. Don't put it under the bed. Put it in a place where it's in your face, maybe in your Bible, maybe in the car. And when you see it, remind yourself to pray over it. Remind yourself to speak life over it. I'll share this testimony. My grandmother, my mom's mother, is a born-again Christian, and she stays in New Zealand. And a couple of months ago, before Jude was born, she came to visit for the weekend. And what was so amazing is that my grandmother took out a book, and she showed me the prayers that she'd been praying over our family. And every day, when she spent time with God, she would present those prayers before God. She took what she had written and brought it before God. And you know what was one of the things that she was praying for? She prayed that she would see all of her children live with her in New Zealand. On Monday, or tomorrow, today actually, today my mom and her brother are flying to Sydney, and next week they're moving to New Zealand. She's been praying for the last 15 years that God would intervene in our family and change something. And it's an incredible thing to know that our prayers carry weight. Our prayers have power. And I want to read the book of Hebrews, and then we're going to write something down. So the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, says the following. So if you want to, you can write Hebrews 11, verse 1, as a verse for you to remind yourself to pray. So maybe on the corner there, just write Hebrews 11, verse 1. And it reads as follows, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We might not see the results of what we're going to pray for, but we've got faith that it will come to pass. Verse 2, this is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of the invisible. The whole chapter 11 deals on faith. I'll just give you an example. Verse 7, by faith Noah. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. By verse 11, verse 9, by faith. Verse 11, by faith. Verse 12, by faith. The entire chapter 11 deals with faith. It's awesome. Verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things that were promised to them, they only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. The reason I want to read that is that some of the things we are writing down today might not happen in our lifetime, but that's okay. Some of the things you're praying for your family might not happen in your lifetime, but that's okay. The prayers that you pray are seeds that you're sowing into the ground that will reap a harvest. And this morning, I really pray that God will stir your faith to know that we as Christians carry weight and authority. When we walk out into that world, we are the light. We are not darkness, and we are not overcome by darkness. In your life, when you're facing darkness, you're not overcome by it. You are light. You are salt, as Scripture says. You have been given all spiritual authority to trample over all the power of the enemy. Church, we are victorious. Come on, we're not defeated. And so this morning when we write this and when we pray this, we're going to do it with faith and we're going to do it with boldness. Because us as a church, God has given us a mission and a calling. We cannot carry a name like Church in the Marketplace and not affect the marketplace. Come on. Am I lying in what I'm saying? If we want that name, we need to do what it says. And you as a congregation are in the marketplace. I sit in my office and I'm out there maybe every now and then, but you as a church are in the marketplace. Your work, the things that you deal with daily. If you want to talk to Uncle Richard, he's got testimony after testimony of people that he has encountered God with. People that have spoken to him. He works in this community. And if you speak to him after the service, he can share many stories where people have encountered God through their life. And come on, that's why we're here. We're here to change the world. We're not here to sit defeated and roll our heads back and go, oh, woe is me. Nah, David ran towards Goliath. It might be a bit nuts, but he ran towards Goliath. Come on. Okay, so did everybody write something on their card? Quickly wave it in the air for me, because it's hot in here and I just need some aircon. Thank you. Okay, so everybody's got a card. And so what I want you to do is, I want you to take the card and hold it on your chest. Hold it on your chest. And before I pray, we're going to take 30 seconds where you're going to speak to God about what you wrote on that card. And then we're going to pray together as a church. So just for the next 30 seconds, it's going to be awkward, but that's okay. Let's close our eyes. And for the next couple of seconds, let's just speak to God about what we wrote on those cards. Church, let's stand to our feet and we're going to pray together. For the love poured out, for the price of freedom. Keep the card close to your heart. Let the whole earth sing, hear the praises rising. Are you ready as a church to put our faith together, to trust God to do the impossible? Come on, I need you to say yes with me. Just make a noise, throw a pen at me. I just need to see that you're in this with me, right? Father, we thank you that this morning as a church, we come to you under the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, that when we come together as your body, you say in your word, you are present with us. So God, we pray that Holy Spirit, you would anoint these prayers and these petitions that we bring before you this morning. God, many of us have written things on these cards that are deep, that are hurtful, that are painful. But God, we want to present it to you as an offering this morning, Jesus. So God, we put our faith together and we believe that nothing is impossible with you. God, we pray that you will stir our faith for every prayer, every petition. God, that you will change people's lives, that you'll change people's hearts, God. God, we cannot do it without you. And God, give us the strength to believe for the things that we have written on these cards. We thank you, Father, that nothing and nothing is impossible with you. We thank you, Lord, that you are giving us the strength to pray even harder, to not give up where we've wanted to give up. God, that you are setting us free this morning for things that have held us down for years. This morning, you are setting us free. You're bringing deliverance and breakthrough into this church in Jesus' name. There's no one like you, God. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this morning as a church, we declare that we have faith in you. We dare to believe, God, that you are able to do everything you said that you will do. That you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. That your love will go before us, God. That your love will be behind us, Jesus. And that one day we will lift our eyes to heaven and see you coming in the great cloud of witnesses, declaring, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. We just thank you, God, that you're such a good God and that you love us so much, Father, that you died on the cross for us. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Just take a couple of seconds. We're in no rush, church. We're in no rush. Today it's you and God. Your coffee will still be there, but just take the next couple of seconds. Just allow God to speak to you. Allow God to just bring His presence over you. Amen. Amen.